We kick off hour number two of the program. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check out all the details at tvacreditunion.com. They've got over 20 branches right here in East Tennessee to serve you. And right now, the April special is 3.85% APR on a brand new credit card. Head on over to tvacreditunion.com for more information, or just walk into one of the branches. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward. It's Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Yeah, a lot of these bloggy, like, top comeback athletes of all time, they list Bethany Hamilton. That was the surfer.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, was attacked by a tiger shark when she was 13. Left arm's gone. Still, I guess, really good at surfing. So there you go.
That's pretty good.
I don't know.
All right, orange and white game. 50,000-ish crowd announced. You all right? Bless you.
50,000. What did they announce last year? 65?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it was.
Where did that rank nationally? I guess there's still some games next weekend, right?
Well, it beat North Carolina.
North Carolina had like 13 people show up. They announced 1,500.
No, I saw some other pictures. They had a few more.
Did you see Missouri? No, nobody.
Really?
I don't think. Remember, it was open everything all spring to build excitement. Nothing.
Nebraska announced 86,000.
Well, did you see the pictures?
No.
It looked like
86,000.
There's nothing to do in Nebraska. The snow finally melted. They're like, thank God we can go outside.
I mean, we would have that if, like, Peyton Manning was a first-year coach.
Correct. Yes. Agree.
Good point. All right.
I mean, Scott Frost moves the needle a little bit more than Jeremy Pruitt.
It is year two for him, though, right? He had a spring game with Scott Frost last year.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's still Scott Frost.
I'm just saying, I think it's still impressive they have that many people there.
No, of course it is. It's very impressive. It's not. I wasn't saying it's not impressive. I'm just saying, yeah, if Peyton was the coach here, I agree with Davey, even if we went 5-7 last year, people would show up just to say, yeah, I went to the spring game and Peyton was there. People around here love Peyton. I don't know if you knew that.
This just in. Yeah.
Breaking.
Yeah, I got it.
I'll put that in news and notes also. Mm.
No, I mean, spring game attendance across the board was awful. I mean, even where people had...
It's lost its luster.
Yeah.
But enough about attendance.
Well, the good news is Jeremy Pruitt knew not to say anything about it this time. So that's good.
He just said the atmosphere on campus was great.
He said there's a lot going on, and he could feel the fan base. So that's good.
David, did you go? No, you didn't go. Julia, you went. Was the atmosphere on campus good, even if the in-game attendance wasn't? All the pictures made it look fun.
Mm-hmm.
They brought out the big VOLS block letters. Did you see that? That was actually awesome. I don't know where those have been, but they need to be back. They need to be put back on top of the stadium. Those were different ones, but still.
I mean, they've kept them in TPA.
Huh?
I think they've had them in Thompson Bowling. You asked where they were.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's an answer to your question.
So what was the first thing, when I say orange and white game, what's the first thing that pops in your head?
5-7.
Mm. I found some positives, but
you did?
My first reaction is gonna be a long, long rebuild. Like, a lot of the same problems seem to be there again. I mean, it seemed like we were watching kind of the same team from last year again. Right? Like, I mean,
you're a lot of fun.
I'm just telling you what I saw. Now, I mean, it is a spring game. I do think it's funny that the people that will tell you on Twitter that's just a spring game, doesn't matter at all, are the same people that celebrated Quentin Dormady going 10 for 10 in a spring game once. Like, they're the exact same people.
Fair.
Like, people just, if things look really good, want to freak out about it, because that's such a positive, but if things are bad, it's just a spring game. Don't worry about it. Throw it all out. It's like, well, it is just a spring game. You do have to kind of use that context. It's not like the offense is going to, pull out their best game plan to score or whatever. But it still was kind of rough when you couldn't even get a first down either side of the offense.
Yeah, they started slow.
It did look better.
It got better. They were nervous. Big crowd.
I will say, Jeremy Pruitt and the defense, they blitzed a ton. I mean, like, they were coming after
them. They did. And I'll be honest, man, I hadn't seen a lot of that. Fulmer, when he went into the booth for the interview, was like, Jeremy's not holding back on defense. Yeah. I mean, they're blitzing 2-3 guys on some plays. I mean, a couple times they did that and then forgot to cover people. Juwan Jennings' last touchdown rings a bell. They kind of did the bailout blitz, and he just went completely uncovered over the middle for an easy 6.
That's one of my positives, though, actually. Until that play, and if you go back and watch it, one of the frustrating things about the way ESPN does their spring games completely, I guess, is that it's one big commercial, so they don't actually call the game, which frustrates me because there are a lot of new guys out there or guys with number changes or whatever. I wish they would say, you know, that was Shannon Reed that made this tackle. You know what I'm saying? Guys will make a play. Quavarius Crouch killed a guy in the backfield, and no one even mentioned it on the broadcast. Like, you basically have to kind of have your roster out and watch and do that all in your head yourself to get an accurate reflection of the game. Because they're trying to do a big commercial for the school, which is fine. I'm sure the schools prefer it that way because you don't want to make too much of individual plays anyway. But it would be at least nice to know who made the tackle, who caught the pass. They only announce that, like, sometimes.
You mentioned Shannon Reed. He had 10 tackles in a PBU. I thought he had a pretty good day. It's spring game, but it's still 10 tackles. I mean, he's all over the place.
He started beside Batuli, right, on your starting defense.
That seems right.
Crouch played on the two defense, the number two.
Pruitt said about Reed, he's kind of a runner and a hitter.
Those are good things to be able to do. I like that. I like the... You know, you got to run and you got to hit.
Hashtag analysis from Jeremy Pruitt. Kind of a runner and a hitter, kind of. He's got good athletic ability. He's not the biggest guy, but that's okay. He's a guy that needs to play a lot of ball. When he knows what to do, he has a chance to be successful. Well, he was all over the field, so there's that. And now with the news about Darren Kirkland, it's probably a good thing that Shannon Reed got some minutes and seemed to make the most of them. I was impressed. At least it's a person. It's a body.
You have to put somebody out there.
That's true. It's a good point by you. Hashtag analysis there.
Okay, but back to my positive
point. Is the defense bad or are we just bad? Because the defense looked okay at first.
I don't think we're...
Both lines are really bad.
I think that's still a weakness. I mean, I thought Wanya Morris at least... Like, he at least looks it's hard to grade, you know, a spring game, but he at least looks the part. He at least looks like he's another level of player that you've had on the offensive line before. You just need more of those guys. But
they've got one coming in Darnell Wright, and apparently they got some potentially good news over the weekend, that 5-star guard.
Justin Rogers.
Sounds like he probably is going to be in the fold soon, officially.
But until that last blown coverage, I felt like the secondary, even for balls that Tennessee completed, the secondary was there. Now, one of your backup corners got completely roasted by Callaway on the deep ball where he caught it and then fell down at the one. But that's a guy that I don't expect to be in that position in a real game. Bryce Thompson, Alante Taylor, the safeties were in the right spot. I mean, even when balls
Nigel
were...
Nigel Warrior doing some stuff out there.
Even when balls were completed over the middle... There was a guy right on the receiver for the most part.
How about big Jalen McCullough? He looks like
it. There you go.
He looks like the deal. Not saying he is, but, man, he looked like Eric Berry out there.
We were talking about this earlier off the air. Like, who stood out as difference-making types of players on Saturday? Jalen McCullough?
Jalen McCullough,
that
for sure.
Probably the biggest surprise. Jeremy Banks?
Jeremy Banks, without question.
I mean, he's
you
got
said
it.
Juice man.
He's got the juice.
He does!
He's jumping guys. He's plowing through guys. He's playing with the twos.
I realize people think it's self-serving when I say this, and maybe it is. He just has it. He does it differently. And he kind of controls, you know, when and how much he touches it. Unlike Juwan Jennings, who has it, but, you know, if he doesn't get thrown the ball, and even if he does, what are we talking, like 4 or 5 touches a game? With Jeremy Banks, man, you can just feed that guy. I mean, there's no blocking to speak of, really, in the run game. It was kind of brutal.
No.
But I'm pretty sure, well, Tim Jordan and Ty Chandler, because they had the first team line, not bad. But 3.3 a carry is not awful. He only lost 1 yard, too.
Oh, you can't look at... I mean...
No, I know. I'm just saying. Know. I'm just saying. Like, he...
Like, I just trust my eyes. Like, the kid, he has juice the other guys don't
you
have.
You trust my eyes. I saw him first. Back off. Whatever. Don't try to take my guy. He also had 5 catches for 21 yards.
Speaking of catches...
Led the Orange team in receptions.
Were the announcers talking about how Ty Chandler last year... even though he had his receptions, they all came in a 4-game stretch that were in the middle of the season. Was that Ty Chandler they were discussing that with?
I don't know.
Like, he didn't have any in the first. Well, you got to get him involved in the passing game. I mean, that was a real struggle last year. Because it's looking like, based off what you're seeing, you're going to have to hit that check down a lot.
I wonder if Jim Chano will ever run the ball at all this year. Like, he's just going to keep throwing every play. Because he can't block. I mean, I just... Was it the first play of the second offense where the right tackle just, like, didn't even touch a guy?
Yeah, that was Shrout.
Yeah, JT Shrout throws a bomb.
JT Shrout would have gotten killed on that play. And then he shows off his arm and hits Tyler Bird down the sideline.
At least he showed off his arm.
I mean, Jarrett Garantano got the MVP award.
Okay. Go on.
I had hoped I'd see a little more improvement out of Garantano. He was really rough to start. But I want to kind of give him a pass.
What did he start? 3 of 9?
I think it was 3 of 8 for 16 yards. And he might have had an incompletion to push it to 3 and 9. But I remember hearing him say, yeah, he's 3 of 8 for 16. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, starting that bad and then finishing the way he did, I thought it was okay.
I mean, it just felt like we were watching... I felt like I was watching a game from last year. I mean, it was almost an exact... Like, hitting Juwan Jennings over the middle where he gets loose was almost a carbon copy of one game where they couldn't do anything on offense, and then they hit that play, and then, of course, they went on to lose. I don't know. I'd hoped we'd see a little bit more develop. For some reason, it still seems like Jarrett Garantano is really slow to do everything in the pocket, and I'm not even sure why, because he's not a... I know people have said he's not a runner, which is true. He's not a runner, but he shouldn't be slow taking his drop and getting ready to throw the football. I mean, Pruitt even talked about it at halftime. He's like, we have got to get the ball out faster. We got to block better, and we got to get the ball out faster. And when you watch those other quarterbacks, and people made, you know, a bunch of overreactions as soon as, you know, Shrout threw that one ball to Bird, and then Maurer starts completing passes. They're, you know, they start, oh, Maurer's definitely the best out of these three. Immediately, I saw that tweet. And then Maurer that threw both the picks?
Yeah.
You know, the one really bad one across his body that McCullough picks off. So I'm not going to go that far, but I still think when I watch Shrout and Maurer take their drops, and basically any other quarterback in college football, they all seem to do it quicker than Garantano. There were a few throws he got off that I'm like, man, in a real game, you just got killed again. And it wasn't a great pass rushing defensive line that Tennessee was rolling out there against him. So I don't know. Does he just step slowly in the pocket? Does he hold it an extra half beat even as he's trying to throw it on
time? Well, yeah, man. Like that. We've known this. But I need like the full 22 because I can't tell if guys are guys just not getting open or is he just holding the ball too long? Because we mentioned the coverage is pretty good.
He doesn't lead the receivers either. Even on the touchdown pass, like he throws it. The one across the back of the end zone, dude had to reaches behind to have to catch it. It's like I wonder if he's just late on all of that stuff.
Are we asking too much of Jim Chaney to have that fixed in 15 practices?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think he was. I mean, let's say he's a full step slow last year. It still seemed faster. Like I think he got better. I do think he started horribly, but he finished 19 of 37, 198, 4 touchdowns, no picks, which was really nice. They did say he was sacked 4 times. Like you said, could have been more. Some of those probably could have escaped. So I'd say just call that a wash. I think it's better, but I don't know what you really do with what you've got. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like there's not you didn't get some freshman baller at any position to come out here. It's like, okay, well, this is a bailout guy, and now we can actually do some different things. I mean, it really is the same thing as last year. It's the same receivers. It's the same running backs. It's a little bit different offensive line that's just not going to be very good right now. I don't really know what anybody expected. That was about the spring game I expected. I actually thought he'd turn it over a time or two, and he didn't. So that's good. And yes, by the way, Davey, Ty Chandler's catches, all of them, all 19 of them, at South Carolina, Alabama, at Auburn, at Georgia, four-game stretch.
I think he had three touchdowns in that span.
Yep, Alabama, Auburn, and Georgia, he had a touchdown in each of them. He had seven catches against South Carolina, only 29 yards, though. But I mean, I agree. I said that Friday. I was like, we got to get the running backs involved more in the pass game. I thought they did that, especially Jeremy Banks getting five catches. He's like the last running back on the list that I would say, yep, that's the guy who's going to be catching the passes. He had five catches and then hurdled a guy. I think they're working on that. That'll be a big part of the offense.
Well, you mentioning the turnovers. My issue with Jarrett when it comes to turning the ball over isn't so much of him just making errant passes. It's more of him getting sacked and then fumbling the ball, or he's trying to get rid of it right as soon as the guys are making their break on him, and that's whenever it gets tipped around. And so you weren't going to see that in the spring game, but I thought there were several opportunities where, I mean, if that is live, he had probably one or two turnovers at least.
Yeah, I mean, fumbles for a quarterback in the orange-white game just aren't going to happen.
Yeah.
So I mean, the other quarter, Maurer comes in and just starts dumping it down to Banks just over and over and over, and they keep getting first downs. It was funny how, like, I mean, I don't know if that route wasn't in the playbook when Garantano was taking snaps. I'd have to watch again. But that's like that's what he's got to be able to do this fall. Is if people are covered up, just dump that thing down and let a running back see if he can make a guy miss.
I think Garantano is more familiar with the offense, so he's looking at receivers. These young guys probably have one check, and if it's not there, now I'm going to hit the dump down early.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, they just aren't as familiar with the plays. Maybe they should be, I mean, since they've all kind of learned it at the same time. But just experience in playing the game, Jarrett Garantano can keep his eyes downfield a little bit more because he understands, you know, SEC speed, progression, so on and so forth. Maurer and Trout, not real surprising that they would just get the ball, look at one guy, and then dump it down to the running back who's wide open.
One thing I'm going to watch for in the season is I rarely remember Garantano, if ever, throwing like dig routes over the middle. I feel like Garantano only throws the balls down the sideline or the quick slant. Like he doesn't anticipate guys coming open over the middle because you have to throw that ball before they're open. Now, he hit a guy against South Carolina 2 years ago on a route like that for a huge play that set up those last few throws in the end zone. But that was off of a 3-man rush where I had all day to wait and wait and wait until that guy was wide open. I don't feel like Garantano.
That was a seam pass, wasn't it, to Brandon Johnson?
I think there were two on that possession, right? There was the one that looked like it was a fumble, and then it wasn't.
The seam pass to Johnson was like a laser down the middle of the field. You're talking about a crossing route concept?
I thought he fumbled that. That was the one they were questioning whether he fumbled it.
Okay. So maybe that's not even what I'm hoping to see. But, like, yeah, I can't remember Jarrett Garantano throwing, like, a deep end cut ever in his career. All the stuff over the middle has been like slants that you see come open early or stuff down the side. That whole Auburn game was, single coverage down the right sideline, throw it up.
Yeah.
Single coverage down the left sideline, throw it up. And there's nothing wrong with that. He should do that every time it's available.
And he will, because Jim Chaney will call it a bunch.
But I just don't know that he anticipates a guy coming open in zone coverage over the middle of the field ever. I mean,
a lot of times it feels to me like he throws with his eyes closed. And what I mean by that is it looks like sometimes he just says, okay, that's kind of the area where I'm going with this. I'm going to throw it as hard as I can. And it's like his eyes leave the target. It's like he'll have guys kind of open and then just sail it because he's trying to throw it 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Especially if there's been any kind of pressure or if he's been forced out of the pocket. I don't know if that's a poise thing. I don't know if that's just his mechanic. I don't know. But there were a lot of times where he had guys open. And instead of, and I said this when he was coming out of high school, and I thought maybe they could fix it. Like, in high school, go back and watch him. Like, he doesn't put much touch on passes. Like, Jarrett Garantano has one motion, one throw, and it pretty much is going to zip out of there no matter what. I was hoping that Jim Chaney would teach him a little bit more touch, finesse, layers. Drop the ball in there instead of just trying to throw it as hard as you can and beat the window. No, just lead him a little bit more. Lob it over the linebacker. You don't have to throw it over the linebacker's shoulder to get it there.
Well, when he was under Butch Jones, I used to think, well, Butch Jones never wants his quarterbacks throwing the ball over the middle. That's too risky of a throw. And then last year with Tyson 50-50 Helton, ball. It was like we just Tennessee would try to run the ball so much in horrible situations. And then when you're behind the sticks, you know that, and you couldn't when you can't block, it's really hard to get guys into the second level of the defense open. I mean, usually if you throw the ball deep when you can't block, it does have to be down the sideline because those guys can just get a step or get even, and then you can lay the ball way out there early, and you can be letting it go earlier than having to hold it one extra step and throw the ball over the middle. But I mean, that's what I'm going to look for because I have not seen him do that effectively ever at Tennessee. And if you can't do that, it makes it really, really hard to beat zone coverage because that's – I mean, zone coverage can be dialed up to take away the outside throw, but you have to – if they do that, if they play a lot of cover too deep, you have to be able to burn them over the middle. You have to be able to pick on the fact that that middle linebacker can't get into that deep hole. But – so I don't know. I mean, I remember him trying to throw a deep post route against Florida and getting picked off. Like, I don't
– Yeah, but I think we were already down a million at that point, weren't we?
So those are the type of concepts I'm going to look for. Like, what are some – can he execute new concepts from Jim Chaney that we haven't seen before? And you're not going to be able to see that in a spring game because they're going to run their most vanilla stuff.
We look like a team, especially offensively, who just doesn't really know what they're doing yet. And unfortunately, when you change offensive coordinators and scheme every year, I think – that's just what happens, and I think we're kind of used to that.
I did think they came out in multiple – it seemed like Chaney wanted to practice a lot of different formations and a lot of different basic –
He is a big formation guy.
He wanted to run a lot of different formations and run a lot of the just very basic concepts out of those.
Which makes sense.
And, yeah, and I felt like they, you know, until – they had some errors later in the game, but they didn't, like, come out and have four false starts in the first eight plays or anything crazy like that. I mean, they lined up, right? They got in and out of the huddle. They got the plays off. That it wasn't a complete train wreck, but they just – it's like they don't have playmakers. They have very few playmakers on offense, and that showed up especially early when neither team could really get a first down because the defense just kind of – did their job, was in the right place, and that was good enough to get off the field. So we'll see. I want to get to some of your reaction. Vol Nation Recruiting tweeted us kind of his recap. We'll hit that on the flip side. You can also give us a call, 865-546-8200. What are your takeaways from Tennessee's orange and white game on Saturday? Are the things you're worried about after that, or the things that you're encouraged by? What are some of the positives that you saw? We'd love to hear from you, 865-546-8200. We'll continue on the other side. This segment's brought to you by the McKinney team with Keller Williams. I don't know if you've looked at the housing market lately, but it is crazy. So if you're thinking about selling, might be a good time to do that. If you're thinking about buying, you can check out Knoxville.
Options aplenty.
Premier home search hosted by Knoxville's top agents at ZillowKnoxville.com. It's the McKinney team with Keller Williams. And they've got one simple philosophy. The client, that means you. You come first. You can get in touch with them via cell phone, 865-548-8267. That's 548-8267. Or you can shoot them an email right through the website there at ZillowKnoxville.com. Or look for them on Facebook. It's Travis and Emily McKinney. Ready to help you buy or sell here in the Knoxville market. It's the McKinney team with Keller Williams. Talking about the spring football game. Happened on Saturday. Vol Nation Recruiting sent us kind of... his takeaways, he said to him, Darrell Taylor was playing really well in the defensive line. He was getting to the backfield very quickly. He said he was worried about it, but then remembered how well he played against Georgia and some other teams last year.
And Kentucky, those are the two.
The two, Kentucky and Georgia?
Yeah.
He had the sack,
yeah.
What, three sacks each? Or
I think he had four and one, didn't he?
Four and
four against Kentucky, three against Georgia.
So, I mean, you need him to be a difference maker rushing the passer, like, for this defense to be any good. And then you need the defensive linemen to be, you know, basically as good as we think they can be. Like, Aubrey Solomon on the defensive front, Emmett Gooden. Like, these guys, they're going to have some – they're going to have to play a lot of snaps and be really good at the point of attack. He said, one obvious thing I saw was a ton of the freshman/newcomer standing out early. Quaverius Crouch. Jalen McCullough, of course, had the interceptions. I mean, Crouch looked good. I need to go back and I wish – that's kind of what I was talking about with the announcer. I wish I could go back and I just need to watch him over
yeah,
and over.
Yeah,
I
mean, I'm going to have to do that today or tomorrow. Just go back and just try to watch everything a little bit more closely.
I mean, he unflashed on the blitz.
He and McCullough at least flashed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, players that flashed, those two I thought, you know, Palmer until the injury was – he looked good, although it's tough to look at our offense and really say anyone flashed just because, I don't know, spring games are always so choppy offensively anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, Callaway did what he, you know, does, right, which is get open, make an acrobatic catch, and kind of fall down, which is – that's fine. Juwan Jennings boxing people out, making catches.
He looks healthy. That's the main thing with him.
Juwan Jennings, he does look healthy. He looked like he was running good. He was moving good. He looked happy to be out there. When he caught the last touchdown, you know, he seemed excited. Players were celebrating with him.
The fade route to it was great.
That was great. And that's a play I think we need to run way more often to him. I mean, that just seems like a no-brainer to me. Jeremy Banks, I thought, flashed. Ty Chandler a couple times. You see the ability. It is just tough, though, when you're watching your team play themselves. It always has been. It always will be. But I think there's some optimism for some young talent. I think you can start to see some guys that are going to carve out roles for themselves. Bryce Thompson is going to be fine. Taylor going to be fine. Nigel Warrior looked like he gave a damn, which was a pretty big step forward. Do we feel better? Do we feel worse? Do you feel the same after Saturday? Heading into 2019?
I feel a little worse.
A little worse?
But not much. I mean, just a little bit.
I think I feel the exact same.
Okay.
And usually that's just because I don't try to put too much on orange and white games in general. I think this is a team that, especially on the offensive line, as they get, you know, Darnell Wright in, as they get Brandon Kennedy healthy, maybe they can settle on positions for guys instead of just bouncing a bunch of dudes around. You had a couple guys out on the offensive line. I think they can be better. I am worried to death that this team's just not going to be able to run the football again.
I am curious. I think field position is probably going to be one of the biggest things to keep an eye out on for this upcoming season. Is there a reason? Like, I didn't see Samaglia out there, and if it's just something I've missed, because, I mean, they had Paxton Brooks taking all the field goal attempts.
The announcer said Samaglia kicked one.
Oh, he did?
Or maybe it was an extra point, I think. But I don't know if they just said the wrong. That's the thing. Like, they're not really calling the game, and you kind of have to fact-check everything. Paxton Brooks, well, it's weird on that first long one.
There's a 46-yarder.
That's the way the rosters were broken up, though. Samaglia was on the other team.
Okay.
So I think that's why Paxton Brooks took that one.
Okay, because I guess because in years past, they've kind of just, whenever they're wanting to put the kicker out there.
Wasn't that the orange team, which was the backup offense that had that first long field goal? Paxton Brooks was listed on that roster, and Samaglia was listed on the white roster.
Okay.
So I think that was the only thing. I think Samaglia might have kicked all the extra points when White scored all the touchdowns later in the game.
I mean, if you're going to get to a bowl game this year, you're going to have a really good kicking unit.
Well, I mean, you have everybody back from last year. It was good last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Samaglia was money last year. That was like the best part of the team, probably. It was him.
Get to the phone lines. We got T-Carp up first. 865-546-8200 is the number to join the program. What's up, T-Carp? What'd you think?
Hey, guys. Before I get into the quarterback thing, the first and foremost is offensive line's really hot garbage. I was seeing some, especially the right tackle on the second string. Oh, my gosh. He was getting just absolutely demolished.
Who was that, T-Carp?
I don't know his name. But, you know, everyone talks about Maurer's really nice, or Shrout, excuse me.
Shrout.
His really nice deep bomb.
Yeah.
And I replayed that, and the right tackle completely whiffs on the defensive end. If it was live, poor Shrout's just picking up his teeth. So there's a lot of things that concern me about that offensive line. You look when Maurer was in the game, and they drove down the field, and it was they got down to the goal line. It was three straight runs, like a yard apiece. They couldn't do anything running game wise, which really scares me. I was talking to one of my friends, and me and him both agreed that Chandler is your main horse that could play at any SEC school. Banks and Jordan wouldn't start anywhere in the SEC. Maybe Kentucky. Maybe.
I'll disagree on Banks.
Okay.
If he holds on to the football, I think he's probably your best overall back.
Maybe. He's gotten a lot leaner. I will say that he's lost a lot of that baby fat, and he looks good. I just don't know yet. I'll have to see more film. Quarterback-wise, Garantano's doing the same things he did last year, holding the ball way too long, not stepping up in the pocket, looking at his guys, overthrowing receivers. I feel like there were some times, and, you know, I even tweeted out, it says, you know, third and long, Garantano takes a sack. It's happened before. You know, it's kind of frustrating. Maurer and Trout, though, I feel like at least you can be really serviceable with them in the future. They made quick decisions. It might have been the wrong decision, but at least they're making decisions quick. You feel like everything's processing with them really, really well. It was just so much. I feel like they're serviceable, and if history repeats itself, they'll be starting a game this year. You know, if Garantano just keeps holding the football and not stepping up in the pocket. Defensive-wise, I think secondary we're going to be okay. We'll have to see if that one guy can start from Georgia. Is that right?
McCullough?
Gibbs.
Yeah.
Oh, Gibbs. Yeah.
Sorry.
D'Angelo Gibbs.
Yeah, we'll have to see if he can play, because I know that's why he was on the second string. But I'm excited about that guy. Freshman getting two interceptions, that's good. And that big number 27, his arms are as big as my entire body. Big old boy, that's a grown man, and I'm very pleased with what I saw from him. There was a run that the offense was doing, and he just completely, I don't know if it was a design blitz, but he just ran right through A-gap and hammered Banks. Like, great tackle, great play. I'm excited to see what he can do in the future. But I don't know. I feel a little depressed at what I saw out of your starting quarterback. And it's just you're going to have a lot better play if we're going to get to 6-6, 7-5 out of him. Guys, that's all my thoughts. Thank you for letting me rant. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for the call, T-Carp.
I do have a note that Riley Locklear was the right tackle when Trout would have been destroyed.
No, well, that's...
It was number 56.
He was at guard on that play. It was 70...
Ollie Lane is who it was, yeah. Looks like. Number?
78. Yeah, it was Ollie Lane.
It's hard to tell in that video. I guess it was just kind of grainy. I couldn't make out the number, but I...
No, it's 78 for sure. I've got it on YouTube.
Okay,
pulled up.
That'd be much clearer. So, that's Ollie Lane. I mean, I'm not, like, making excuses for anybody, but he is a redshirt freshman. So, I don't know. Do we expect him to be really good right now at right tackle?
No, I mean, that play doesn't matter.
I'd like him to touch somebody. That'd be good. But
it's not a guy that's going to be playing right tackle in a meaningful game.
It's the orange and white game. You're playing against yourself. I don't know what to take away that's good and what to take away that's bad. We talk about this every year before the orange and white game. It's going to be every play is a double-edged sword. Every single good has an equal bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think individual performances, though, you can... Like, I don't think Garantano was terrible. I agree with T-Carp. Like, we said it last year. We've said it all offseason. He has to get rid of the ball faster. He has to step into throws. He has to make his reads a little bit faster. That said, after a slow start, he wasn't terrible. I mean, he wasn't elite, but you don't turn the football over. You throw four touchdowns. behind that offensive line. Like, you're doing something right. He was able to use his legs a couple of times too. That's what probably scares me the most is how many times our quarterbacks would get flushed from the pocket and just have to run for their life and throw it. Or just try to go get 5, 6, 7, 8 yards.
That was Kevon Bennett that made that move on Ollie Lane. Now, that is a guy you might see rushing the passer some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, kind of the one of the guys behind Darrell Taylor or on the other side. So, like you said, it's just hard when you're going against yourself.
Well, I think my main issue, though, is we've talked about how inexperienced this defensive line is on both sides, and you average 2.25 yards a carry as a team. 2.25 yards a carry. Now, that does take into account sack numbers, but it's still just not – it's just not good. I mean, your running backs, Jeremy Banks, 3.3 yards a carry. Ty Chandler did have 4.6, and Jordan was 4.9. So the first team offensive line, they're better, much better, but as you mentioned, the longest run of the day was Tim Jordan. It was 13 yards.
Yeah, 38 carries too.
Well, that was our issue last year. We never broke the big run unless you're playing ETSU or UTEP. Like you could not break easy plays that turned into big plays. Now the good news is, you know, you look at Tim Jordan, 8 carries. He did not have a play that went backwards. Ty Chandler, 7 carries. He did not have a play that went backwards. Jeremy Banks had one run. I think that was the one where Kavarius Crouch got in and popped him. He had one run where he lost a yard. Everything else was positive. And the only players, obviously, that really lost yards were your quarterbacks. So you moved the ball forward when you ran it. We just did not see the big play. And it's really hard for me to blame the running backs when, I mean, a lot of those, they're getting hit behind the line and turning -2 into +2. I mean, it's a 4-yard difference, but you only get 2 yards credit for it. I don't know how this team runs the football. Not right now. I don't care if it's Jeremy Banks. I don't care if it's Ty Chandler. I don't care if it's Nick Chubb. Like, I just don't, right now, I don't know how this team runs the football. Against anybody.
But
that scares me, too, because that means you got to lean on the pass. And right now, I don't know that we can block anybody from getting to Jared Garantano or anybody else.
Well, when you can't run the football, you end up third long where it's easy to take your chances because you don't have to worry about the 4-yard draw play getting the first down. You know, I mean, it's 3rd and 8. Like, you got all the whole defensive playbook is available.
In fairness, the offensive line will look a lot different by the time the season starts. I mean, I think you could probably pencil in Darnell Wright. They said Brandon Kennedy would have played Saturday if this had been a game. So immediately, it looks very, very different. And you had a couple of other guys that have been kind of banged up. So we'll see. Hopefully they can settle on specific positions for guys and stop bouncing them around. But based on what you saw Saturday, I just don't know how this team steals yards in the run game. I don't know how you keep a defense honest right now with this offensive line, this group of running backs playing the way they're playing.
Do you think we'll see a different blocking scheme now that Chaney's going to be kind of, I mean, at least calling plays, or I don't know, like with Will Friend, obviously.
It's hard. Well, it's hard because they almost tried every blocking scheme last year, and instead of just picking kind of like, this is our bread and butter, this is what we do, and then this is how we counter off of it. So I don't, so the answer to your question is kind of yes, but I don't. I hope Chaney, between now and fall, and maybe it's game by game, but has like a, okay, this is the best way to attack this defense. You know, but more of an identity, I guess.
Yeah.
So I do think Jim Chaney will have something that he thinks this is what we can do best, and they'll roll that out, and hopefully that helps them at least be serviceable. So then they can set up other things that they want to do with the offense. And come back, final segment, hour number 2. David Ubbin posted his kind of one post about the offense and kind of his thoughts there, and with some quotes from Jeremy Pruitt. We'll hit that on the flip side. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number 2 of the program, talking Tennessee football and spring game from Saturday. I was checking out David Ubbin's piece for The Athletic on kind of the same old issues for his title was Tennessee's New Look Offense Encounters a Familiar Problem.
What's that?
He starts it with a Jeremy Pruitt quote, "We have to shore up our offensive line." Points out that Wanya Morris is already your starting left tackle.
Of course.
It's I've never followed a team as closely as I've followed Tennessee, obviously. But I swear that the amount of just awfulness that this offensive line was at the end of the Butch Jones. I mean, I don't know. I've got, you know, I've got family in South Carolina. I remember they got like Brandon Shell, you know, Art Shell's nephew or whatever. He was like a big recruit. And it's like, oh, yeah, Brandon Shell, he's so good. He'll probably start for us. I mean, like, even at South Carolina, who recruits about the way Tennessee has during their worst recruiting cycles, brought him in and was like, yeah, you're not good enough to be our starting left tackle yet. Here, you got to start on the right side. But Wanya Morris, and Wanya Morris, of course, even a better, more highly touted recruit, but just immediately left tackle. And immediately looked better than everybody else.
Yep.
It wasn't like he had some issues. It's wild. Now I expect Darnell Wright to come in, and in the All-Star game they had him flipped or whatever. But to me, like, Darnell Wright looks like you're starting right tackle. Like, he's the meaner, more physical, but not quite as quick-footed to me. Like, to me, he's more the power guy.
Well, I think it makes sense too that the guy who can be here longer, you would start him at left tackle. For right-handed quarterbacks, that's the position. So if Wanya is going to be here, you would probably rather him have 30 practices at left.
I feel like Wanya is more the ballerina, you know, the big guy with the feet that can move a little bit better. He's more, you know, civilized. Darnell Wright's going to just rip your heart out. Like, let's go. Let's run the football at the right side. Like, that's the way the traditional teams are built. So it could set up perfectly. If Brandon Kennedy's any good coming off his eight, I'm not convinced Brandon Kennedy's any good at all, ever, has ever been any good. And I'm worried that coming off an ACL, like, we won't even know. I'll never have the answer to that question, because it's not going to be, was Brandon Kennedy ever any good healthy? It's going to be, is he good coming off of an injury, which is even worse. So I feel for the kid in that regard. So I hope that's an upgrade at center, but it might not be. And then you start talking about the guards. Okay, there's two spots left. Who are the absolute best guards we have? Let's get them in those two spots. And I know they keep trotting Trey Smith out in his uniform, but I'm not counting that one until I get more news there. That's where I'm at with the offensive line. Well, let's get to the phone lines. We got Jay on the horn, 865-546-8200. If you want to weigh in, we'll even take calls in the next hour on the spring game and Tennessee football in general. What's up, Jay?
Guys, let's talk about the offensive line.
Let's do it.
So, here's the deal. Like, looking towards the future, I'm hopeful because you probably signed the best offensive line class in the country last year.
One of them, yep.
Yeah. You're going to sign, it looks like, another exceptional offensive line class for this upcoming year. I mean, that's probably, you're probably recruiting that position better than anybody, right? Any other position, it looks like. But I know that we have some deficiencies. I know, but when does it come on Will Friend, I guess? Because why I ask that is this. He's one of the highest paid offensive line coaches in the country. And I think it was last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, but I remember Georgia, I believe they were playing Alabama, and I think it was the SEC championship game, but Georgia's offensive line was just mauling them. And they were making the comment that basically a lot of those, they had a lot of injuries on their offensive line that year. And they were playing with like third stringers, and they were still mauling Alabama. And you know who's over there, Sam Pittman.
Yeah.
I mean, who's supposed to be one of the best. When are we going to – I mean, is it fair to say, hey, Coach Friend, when are we going to get some development here? When are we going to get – I'm not saying we should be the best offensive line in the league, but – I mean, when is this story going to end? I mean, can we ever just be halfway decent at the offensive line position? I mean, is it fair to say, is Will Friend worth the money? I mean, are we getting our money's worth?
Not right now.
I think you got. You should be able to ask that question this year, right? And not now. If Wanya Morris or Darnell Wright makes some mistakes, that's okay. But I'm with you, Jay. We need to see them being taught how to dominate, and you need to be able to see them do that at least at times. And you need to be able to see some of these guys that have sucked last year and previous years, like, have the light switch go on at some point.
I'm just asking to be serviceable. Like, I'm not asking them to be world beaters. I'm just asking them to maybe not get Garantano killed on every play. Like, I'm not really setting the bar that high. So I hope that we can see some development and see some coaching this year to say, hey, you know what, Will Friend is getting everything he can possibly get out of those guys, because it seems like Sam Pittman does it. Sam Pittman gets the most out of his Georgia guys. And, you know, I think Will Friend's the third highest paid offensive line coach in the country. So I hope we can see some coaching and development this year.
I'm looking at the starting offensive lines for both groups. I mean, Jerome Carvin's your backup at both guard spots, right? Mm-hmm. Was Caron Calvert listed as a starter before the spring game for the first team? He was.
At least in some of the reports I saw from practice.
Okay. I mean, obviously, Carvin started at center for the Orange team, and he's your backup center and backup guard for the first team. So, I don't know, did they move some guys around to try to have a little bit more balance with the first team, or is that first team offensive line that started with the White, is that just what you're going to get? Because it seems like guard spot, we've bounced a bunch of guys around. But Carvin started a few games at guard last year. I didn't think he did poorly. I thought Wanya Morris looked good. Marcus Tatum was okay, and you have to think he's probably going to lose his job. I mean, if Brandon Kennedy comes back at center and you move somebody else around at guard, it's possible that three of these spots, maybe even four, change by the start of the season. So could they be that much better? I don't know. Also, if Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright are your two best offensive linemen as true freshmen, that tells me it was probably a recruiting issue, probably a personnel issue. And, Jay, as you mentioned, they're recruiting that position right now better than they have. I mean, seriously, maybe ever, if you're just going based on stars and kind of reputation of the recruits that they're getting.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you know, Butch was getting guys who weighed 260 pounds.
Correct.
And he thought, you know, that moron thought that all of them were going to be the next Eric Fisher. I mean, so – And they're putting on weight that's probably unnatural weight for them to carry, and they're probably not used to being that heavy. Whereas Jeremy and the boys, they're getting guys who are naturally big.
Yes.
Like Akrock Pernogrene, I can't even say his name. You know, Wright, Wanya Moore. I mean, these guys are bigger naturally as seniors in high school than what we have as juniors, sophomores, and juniors in college. So I think that's going to help us, but. You know, another thing we talk about, you know, maybe our best weapon or one of them is Dominic Wood Anderson, the tight end, who, you know, that's one of the few players we have on this roster right now that Alabama truly wanted, and we got to leave him in the block. I mean, we can't even send him out to catch passes a lot because our offensive line can't block nobody.
Well, I don't think you're going to – I would hope you're not going to see that with Jim Chaney. I mean, that was a Tyson Helton just complete cluster. I mean, that, like – like, keeping more guys in the block because you can't protect is about the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It's like, we can't block, so let's keep more and more guys in. It's like, no, spread out the defense.
Yeah, then you're just adding another person you have to block.
Right,
like, it's kind of a net negative.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. So I think you're going to see – I mean, I was watching some of the game again, Jay, and, I mean, they flexed out Dominic Wood Anderson. I mean, Garantano on the second play of the game misses a blown coverage where he's going to be wide open on a corner route. But Garantano takes a check down, and he completes the pass. It's just short of the first down, and they have to go punt. Garantano probably thinking going into the game, get rid of the football, get rid of the football, get rid of the football. So I hope we'll see Dominic Wood Anderson be more of a difference maker this year with Jim Chaney.
We'll see, guys. I'll get off here. I think we might have a future star here with Tank McCullough, though. That's going to be interesting to see what he does.
He's good.
You have a good day.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. Yeah, he looks real good. Jalen McCullough looks like the truth.
Wait, Tank McCullough?
That's his nickname.
And then there's Tank.
Then there's
running back,
Tank Bigsby, who was on campus. 4-star.
Tank 1, Tank 2.
I'll take Tanks.
All right.
Thanks.